This is Stuart Moxham of Young Marble Giants, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today on the WGXC Morning Show, Julia Jorn visits with Susan Baldessarini and Shai Kessler, the couple behind Reed Street Bottle Shop in Coxsackie. We'll find out all about their business there and what's going on in Coxsackie these days. Then we head to Catskill, where on December 29th, the town of Catskill held a public hearing about cannabis, where most of the residents voted in favor of cannabis. While the town officials later voted against cannabis lounges in the town of Catskill. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network, and the moon turns the blood. A stream runs through, and the moon turns the blood. This is the network, network, and the moon turns the blood. A stream runs through, and the moon turns the blood. This is the network, network, this is the news. This is the network, this is the news. This is the network, network, this is the news.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit DedicatedPresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Natasha Von Holdridge is reporting for Columbia Green Media that Columbia Memorial Health in Hudson is again diverting some non-emergency patients to other medical facilities. As the number of COVID-related cases grows in the area, hospital spokesperson Bill Van Slyke said December 28th. The diversions are used as a way to ease the strain on hospital services. The emergency department at CMH is one of the busiest emergency care centers in the Hudson Valley. Quote, like hospitals nearly everywhere, we are seeing increased volumes of COVID and non-COVID illnesses, unquote, Van Slyke said. Quote, the occasional use of diversion helps us better balance patient load across our system and the region. We reassess the need for diversion every 4 hours, unquote. Columbia Memorial has 26 COVID-19 inpatients as of December 28th, Van Slyke said. The Columbia County Department of Health reported 13 of the county's 26 COVID hospitalizations are at CMH. Quote, it's very important to note that nearly all of our COVID patients positive in patients are unvaccinated, unquote, Van Slyke said. He encouraged everyone eligible in the community to get fully vaccinated as soon as possible. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports 71.2% of Columbia County residents are fully vaccinated. In Greene County, 59.7% of all residents are fully vaccinated. With the diversion protocol in place, Columbia Memorial is seeing patients in person at the Catskill and Valencia Rapid Care Centers. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Steve Hughes reports in the Times Union that Albany County announced 471 new coronavirus cases December 29th, the largest single-day count since the pandemic began. And 8 more residents were hospitalized because of coronavirus, and 1 more died. A woman in her 60s became the 470th death in Albany County. Currently, 58 residents are hospitalized there, with 7 in intensive care. The last time Albany County had this many cases was January 12th, when they recorded 351 cases. That was a time when only the elderly and healthcare workers were eligible for vaccinations. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said, and I quote, "We know vaccinations and boosters are doing their job in preventing many serious illnesses and hospitalizations caused by the virus. And the initial evidence is showing that the Omicron variant is comparatively less dangerous than the Delta," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
The town of Catskill Board voted 3-1 to opt out of cannabis lounges on December 29th. Here's how the vote went from WGXC's live web stream of the Catskill Town Meeting.
I'm going to make a motion that we adopt Local Law 3-2021, whereas the Town Board of Catskill held a public hearing on December 29th, 2021 to discuss adopting Local Law 3-2021, opting out of the allowing of on-site cannabis consumption establishments as authorized under New York State Cannabis Law Article 4, and whereas all in attendance who wish to be heard were so, therefore we, the Catskill Town Board, hereby adopt Local Law 3-2021 and instruct the town clerk to submit a local law to the Office of Cannabis Management as required. Therefore, it being further resolved that the Catskill Town Board hereby instruct the town clerk to file the local law with the Secretaries of State as required by law, and I'll make that motion. And I need a second to pass the local law. Seconded by Paul Bosberg. Well, any further discussion?
Personally, I just think possibly that's a mistake.
Okay. Anita, all those in favor of the local law?
Aye.
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 Aye. Those against?
Aye.
So we had 3-1 this, so the motion there carries.
The vote came after an hour of public hearing, with almost all citizens in support of cannabis in Catskill. The board previously decided to allow retail sales in the town of Catskill. Towns and villages in New York have only until December 31st to opt out of retail sales and or cannabis lounges after the state made cannabis legal last April. So far in Greene County, Ashland, Cairo, the town and village of Hunter, Jewett, Prattsville, and Windham have opted out of both retail sales and cannabis lounges, according to the Rockefeller Institute of Government website tracking the issue. Everywhere else, cannabis sales will be allowed unless the town votes before the new year. In Columbia County, the village of Chatham, Claremont, the village of Kinderhook, and Livingston have opted out of both. Ancrum, Copake, the town of Kinderhook, and the village of Valencia will allow retail sales but not lounges. Everywhere else in Columbia County will allow both unless a town takes action before the new year.
William J. Kimball reports in the Daily Freeman that the 7 municipalities that take drinking water from the Hudson River want to be included in discussions about the discharge of muddy water from Ashokan Reservoir into the lower Esopus Creek. Esopus, Lloyd, Hyde Park, the town and city of Poughkeepsie, and the town and village of Rhinebeck are known as the Hudson 7 and want to be full members of the Ashokan Releases Working Group, which meets monthly to discuss problems associated with the discharged water. But an attorney for New York City Department of Environmental Protection, which operates the reservoir, opposes allowing a representative on the board. Shannon Harris, a Hudson 7 representative from Esopus, said, and I quote, "It's really the DEP's lawyer who's not having any of it," end quote.
The Ashokan Releases Working Group includes representatives from the Lower Esophis Creek municipalities, Ulster County Riverkeeper, the Hurley-based Farm Hub, the DEP, the State Department of Environmental Conservation, and the State Department of Health. The issue the towns want to address is the 600 million gallons of turbid, muddy water per day from the reservoir into the creek that the DEP has state permission to discharge. Village of Rhinebeck Mayor Gary Bassett said that is impacting the drinking water there. He said, and I quote, "When the turbidity exceeds a certain level, we have to shut off two of our pumps because they can't handle it. That slows down the processing of water. And then we also have an increase in the amount of our waste product that we have to deal with to haul away," end quote. State Senator Michelle Hinchy, a Democrat based in Socrates, agrees that the municipalities should be included. Hinchy said in an email, and I quote, "Our watershed communities and the local organizations that are directly impacted by the suggestions and outcomes of this working group should have every opportunity to participate in the working group. We're hopeful that the working group will expand its membership to ensure that all voices are at the table," end quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Sarah Tadeo is reporting for LowHUD.com that the minimum wage in New York will increase on December 31st. Minimum wage workers in Westchester County and in Nassau and Suffolk counties on Long Island will see their wages increase to $15 an hour in the new year, a rate equal to workers employed by large firms in New York City who have been making $15 an hour since the end of 2018. Fast food workers statewide also make $15 an hour, regardless of location. Workers in the rest of the state will see an increase in their hourly rate to $13.20, a 70-cent raise from the current rate of $12.50 on December 31st. The state minimum wage package was passed in 2016 by the state legislature and then-Governor Andrew Cuomo with a five-year rising scale of wages staggered across the state based on location. Last year, some lawmakers and business groups condemned the state's decision to raise the minimum wage as scheduled, saying it would harm struggling businesses. The state argued that low-wage workers were some of the hardest hit in 2020, particularly in the hospitality and retail sectors, and therefore they should receive a bump in pay. This year, New York's Division of the Budget again found that the low-wage sector was the most severely impacted by the pandemic. Nationally, President Joe Biden signed an executive order in April requiring a $15 an hour minimum wage for federal contractors beginning January 30th, 2022. Read more about this story at LowHUD.com.
Danny Jin reports in the Berkshire Eagle that Berkshire County residents are being asked to fill out a survey about whether they would use an on-demand ride-sharing service if it were reasonably priced and publicly operated. Berkshire Regional Planning Commission is working with Tate Coleman, who chairs the Great Barrington Regional Transportation Advisory Committee, about new transportation options in the Western Massachusetts County. Coleman said, and I quote, "These are not exactly the same, but similar to a shared ride Uber or Lyft service, but the idea is it would be a lot more affordable, more convenient, and more flexible," end quote. Berkshire County currently has some bus service. The survey questions ask if Berkshire residents would pay $0, $1.55, $3, or $5 for a one-way trip across two towns or fewer, and if they would pay $0, $4, $8, or $10 for a one-way trip across three or more towns. So far, 2,000 people have filled out the survey at berkshiretransitsurvey.com, which is available through late January. Coleman said, and I quote, "This is almost certainly still in the relatively early planning stages. We are not exactly sure what a pilot would look like at this point, and that's why we're collecting the data," end quote. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Luke Parsno is reporting for New York State of Politics that $78 million in federal funds are now available for New York communities to use in responding to the COVID-19 pandemic, Governor Kathy Hochul's office announced December 29th. The money comes from the Community Development Block Grant, or part of the CARES Act passed by Congress in early 2021. The federal program, administered by the New York State Homes and Community Renewal, is now accepting applications to help eligible communities to prevent, prepare for, and respond to the coronavirus. three recently approved awards will provide $2.8 million for upgrades at senior centers in the towns of Summers in Westchester County, the town of Towanda in Erie County, and the town of Pittsford in Monroe County. Hochul said in a statement, quote, "Mayors, communities, and nonprofits, tell us your vision. Tell us what, where you believe the vulnerabilities are greatest in your communities, wherever you think you need the extra help. These additional funds will help, and we will get through this together," unquote. Read more about the story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, a chance of rain and snow before 9 a.m., then a chance of rain. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 42 degrees. Thursday night, a chance of rain before 5 a.m., then a slight chance of rain and snow. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 34. And on Friday, New Year's Eve, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 46 degrees. Friday night, a chance of rain after 1 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 38 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at 90.7 on Thursday, December 30th, including at 10 a.m. Cheryl Kay talks with New York City-based vocalist, composer, and Lithuanian zither player Simona Smirnova and New York City-based saxophonist and composer Berta Moreno on Situation Fluxus, the new jazz and improvisational music show at 10 a.m. on the radio at WGXC on Thursdays. At 11 a.m., we visit the Transformational Listening Show, and they're visiting Cape Verde today. Then at noon, it's time for the Mostly Singles Leftover Show, as Michael Wilde brings you some treats from the past year that you may have not heard. Then at 2 p.m., it's time for What's the Frequency, Kenneth? And today's show is about how 2022 just has to be better because it couldn't be much worse. That's the show that sets the week's news to the latest music. At 3 p.m., it's time to turn on the news, where Omicron is taking over. Then at 3:30, Radia's show today features Ergo, Femiz, and Deprestival. Then at 7 p.m., it's time for Elizabeth Lejeuse's Echolocation show. Today, a sonic exploration of the owls of the Hudson Valley on Echolocation at 7 p.m. on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The Catskill High School Interact Club has scheduled its Martin Luther King March for Peace and Justice for February 17th. The event meets at the Second Baptist Church in Catskill at 5 p.m. Then a candlelight march starts at 5:15 p.m. The group will march from the Second Baptist Church, that's at Upper Main Street on Catskill, to the Greene County Courthouse, to the Catskill Middle School lawn. That is, again, the Martin Luther King March for Peace and Justice, February 17th, organized by the Catskill High School Interact Club. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information about this event and many other community events in your area. Thank you.
I'm Cheryl Kay, host of the Jazz Disturbance on WGXC, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The Jazz Disturbance features jazz and other improvised music. Tune in on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wave Farm Radio app on your smartphone. Playlists are posted at facebook.com/CKDisturbance.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, December 30th. Early this morning, the temperature range is 34 degrees in East Bern and 38 degrees in Netherwood. Watch for foggy conditions out there. Some rain will fall in spots through the day. A high of 43 is expected at 12 p.m. Overnight, rain lingers as temperatures fall to 38 degrees. Calm winds will help keep the fog around. Friday will be dry and cloudy with a high of 46 degrees. Overnight, 41 degrees takes us into a pretty rainy New Year's Day with a high of 47. Sunday will still be rainy with a high of 48. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 5:47 a.m., high tide at 11:34 a.m., low tide again at 6:34 p.m., and high tide again at 11:58 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 35 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:18 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:19 a.m. Looking way up, we see incoming solar wind could light up high-latitude auroras tonight. Solar wind speed is currently 432 kilometers per second at 6.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark and fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 79. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tina Sharp of Hillsdale, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Let's begin.
You have 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Don't worry if you can't follow everything that is said. Now repeat.
Thank you.
That was 2021 music from Leah Bertucci from her album A Visible Length of Light. That was the song On Opposite Sides of Sleep on the radio at WGXC.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Today I'm in Coxsackie to meet with Susan Baldassarini and Shai Kessler, the couple behind Reed Street Bottle Shop and part of the revival of this historic river town. They founded their shop 5 years ago with a belief in sourcing wine, spirits, and ciders from small, independent, and local producers, including some rare and hard-to-find bottles. But you don't have to be a connoisseur to fall in love with this place. So you two are transplants from Brooklyn. Can you talk about your backgrounds and what brought you here to Greene County?
Sure. So the house came first. We had been running the grind in Brooklyn for over 20 years combined and wanted a weekend home. And we found a little spot in New Baltimore that we fell in love with. And as we were coming up on the weekends, we realized we were bringing our wine from the city. And the idea of making a full-time move became more and more attractive. And as we began to decide what a good and stable first business would be, a wine shop became a very natural choice. My background is in design, but Shai was a cook in New York City for over 15 years. So the interest in food and wine had always been something that was prevalent to us.
And how did you go from being a cook to getting into wine?
It's sort of like a natural progression. I learned a bit as I went in the kitchens when I could. But once we made the decision to move up here and do this, I just approached the owners of the local wine shop in Red Hook.
In Red Hook, Brooklyn, or Red Hook, upstate New York?
Yep, it was our neighborhood shop in Brooklyn. Yep.
And asked them if they were hiring and told them my plan. It was to move up here in a year or two and open my own shop.
So that was sort of your apprenticeship.
Yep.
Learning on the ground. I like that concept.
They were very receptive. They put them through some classes and taught them everything they know. And
that's
then
amazing.
Set us loose.
They were great. Yeah. I owe them a lot. Dry Dock in Red Hook.
How did you discover Coxsackie? Was that just from living in New Baltimore, which is what, 5-10 minutes from here?
Yeah, we live about 10 minutes north. We sort of had a radius. We looked at spaces in Athens and Coxsackie
and Catskill.
Yep. At the time, there wasn't a ton of real estate available, or even more, upsetting
spaces.
Is that there were empty spaces that landlords weren't renting or didn't see the potential in or weren't wanting.
You couldn't even find out who owned to approach to rent. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I was attracted to Coxsackie, even though I've been here 20-something years, because of your wine shop. I really discovered it when you guys kind of put it on the map for someone like me.
Yep.
But I had been down here just kind of poking around, and it seemed like very sleepy.
Totally.
So you are really part of the community that's kind of bringing it back. And what have you seen that's changed since you opened your shop?
A ton of new businesses that have popped up. It's certainly more foot traffic from year one to year five. Mm-hmm. But not only that, whether the new businesses have found the space and set up camp and actually started, but just a renewed interest. I can't tell you, 2 to 3 times a week, someone will ask me, do you know of any available space down here? You know, more people are interested in coming on board and
are finally seeing the potential down here.
Yeah. I mean, the location is so spectacular, walking distance to such an incredible view of the Hudson River.
It's
such a beautiful public park on the Hudson River.
The little strip here feels like a movie set. We hear that a lot. It's been shut down and actually used to record several shows and movies. But it is. It's this quaint little thing. And we also hear so many people just didn't even know that this little strip was down here. Even our sales reps who would call on us to sell wine to us would tell us, my goodness, I've driven up and down 9W for years, but never knew that I could turn off and this little village was here. So we definitely love being a bit out of the way. That doesn't seem like a hindrance to us by any means.
Certainly the heart of Main Street, downtown Coxsackie. I mean, I love your window display, as I always have, and I'm sure that's your touch of being a designer.
It is.
And I just love the design of the store. Do you want to talk about some of your offerings and what are local and some of your favorite vineyards?
Sure.
Yeah, one of our favorite New York State producers would be Eminence Road Farm Winery. They're out in Delaware County, but they source their grapes from the Finger Lakes. small husband-wife team just make really honest,
simple and clean, but elegant and sophisticated wines. They really nailed the whole idea behind a natural wine, and that it's good, it's clean, there's nothing more than what you need, but without any of the hip pretense that maybe comes with too much of what's happening in the natural wine world.
And what does it mean for a wine to be natural?
There are several points to consider. First is the way the grapes are farmed, so no pesticides or intervention in the farming.
Minimally, like, sustainably farmed, usually organic or practicing organic.
And then in the vinification process, again, native yeasts are used to convert the wine, the grape juice. So no additives there, and then nothing added at the bottling to keep the wine stable.
Minimal intervention is probably my preferred term. But
minimal intervention, I like that.
Hands-off winemaking, nothing added, nothing taken away to an extent. There's no legal definition. Mm-hmm. It's all just sort of what people make of it. Some people are very dogmatic. Some people are less so. We're less so, I think.
Well, I was happy to receive a bottle of rosé Eminence wine from your shop.
Ah, wonderful.
For my birthday from my sister-in-law, who lives locally.
Great.
I love that.
Yeah, no, we think that they're doing a good thing. In terms of the spirits, Shai can best speak to our preferred New York State spirits or popular.
What would you recommend to someone like me who knows nothing, but likes everything, or I'd like to try anything?
I particularly enjoy New York State rye whiskeys. Rye whiskey is not as popular as bourbon, but I find it somewhat more complex. And I think New York State rye, I don't know why, it's just makes an exceptional whiskey. So currently we have the Excelsior rye whiskey from Copper Sea down near New Paltz, which I'm really fond of.
Oh, wow, New Paltz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We use the Albany Distilling Co. They are putting out some delicious bourbons, ryes, and vodkas.
Yeah.
Cooper's Daughter, which is across the river, always has a big following.
And then right now, probably our most popular New York State item would be from Prohibition Distillery out in Roscoe in the Western Catskills. They make a bourbon cream that we can't keep on the shelves.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And in the last couple of years since you've had your shop, have you seen more and more local makers?
For certain, both in spirits and in wine.
And cider.
And yeah, and cider too. And it's really a remarkable thing, I feel like, for a long time. We felt an obligation to carry New York State because people come in and they want to shop local, but we couldn't always 100% stand behind the product. But even in our 5 years, we've seen such growth and improvement in these beautiful ciders and wines and spirits.
Maturation, even.
Yeah, that's true too. Time has improved everything.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. I mean, I've noticed just an incredible surge of breweries that are local that were not
beer
here
too.
In the last couple of years.
For certain.
Yeah.
So it's
for
fun
certain.
To learn about wines too.
Yep, definitely.
Local wines.
Definitely.
Yeah.
In addition to having this shop, you have another shop across the street. Can you talk about that?
I do. My background is in graphic design, and I still maintain a short roster of clients for some freelance work. And in an effort to be able to do that work but have the structure of an office and a commute, I set up a little shop across the street where I can do my design work and offer the amenity of a retail outlet for the community. So I sell cards, little gifts, notebooks, journals, things like that.
Do you sell any of your own designs?
Just a few. Logistically, to design and print and house and store hundreds of cards doesn't make sense in my little 300 square foot triangle shaped shop. But it gives me the time and space I need to get my design work done while giving members of our community a spot to grab a quick birthday card or a hostess gift after they buy their bottle of wine
exactly.
for a dinner party.
And what's the name of it?
The shop is called Pilot House Paper.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'm going across the street and I'm heading there now.
Great.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Julia.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show?
Would you like to do a show?
Would
you
like to do a show on WGXC?
A show on
WGXC.
90.7 FM.
What is your show?
90.7 FM.
What is your show without
anyone?
Anyone
can do a show.
WGXC. Acra.
If you made a radio show, what would it be about?
Anyone can do a show.
Interesting, boring, really, really, really,
really, really. It would be about wonderful things. It would be about
chocolate pigs.
She's obsessed.
chocolate pig.
Chocolate pig.
Awesome.
All the way down.
The only dogs can hear.
Burn his...
I turned it down. Do it.
Did you hear that?
No.
Earlier this month, the town of Catskill decided it would opt in to retail sales for cannabis. But on December 29th, the town of Catskill board voted 3-1 to opt out of cannabis lounges. That came after an hour-long public hearing where most of the residents spoke in favor of cannabis. Here are some of those public comments from the residents of Catskill at the December 29th public hearing held by the town of Catskill.
We're 2 years down the road from seeing a brick-and-mortar building for lounges. As far as the state's regulations or whatever, it's going to be stricter or as strict as what the SLA has now. Our zoning and planning can control where we're going to put these things. There is plenty of protection for the town to prevent them going somewhere we don't want. So I think opting out is a huge disservice to assessed property values and possible tax revenue and money we can give to other important parts of the community.
I just want to quickly say that I really do understand why the whole opt-out thing. But I think what you also need to consider is that this is a significant business for the town and village of Catskill. And not only is it, we're having some Russian people coming in and deciding to live here, and everything is changing very quickly. We need that. There's some issues, but we need that. Some businesses have closed. I've seen. It's very upsetting to me. This would be a win-win. And also, I'm working with a group in Ulster County to bring in a hemp, industrial hemp processing center. It's a huge project. It's going to take upwards of 10 years. And what I've been talking to them is bringing it to Greene County. It would mean significant jobs. You know, we still have to do a lot of research. Mm-hmm. We're taking a trip to Canada to see the equipment. It's this. I'm telling you, if we work together, this could be a game changer for this county. I've only been here 2 years, but I grew up in a community just like this in South Jersey. And I had someone ask me, why don't you move back into what you grew up with? It's crazy. That's because this is what I know. And I know most of the people that live here are really decent, hardworking people. We need better jobs. We need money coming into this town and into our village. And we need money coming into Greene County. So I think this is just one step, because I'm fighting for them to bring that facility into Greene County. But we need to show them that we are so on board. I mean, and I think it's always good to have someone say, hold on. I think that's important too. But, you know, to make that initial step, I think it's going to be critical and crucial to how we blossom in the future.
I mean, if you're, as a board, if you needed a letter of support or something for a hemp farm or something, you know, again, we're on board with bringing jobs and bringing these industries into town. I mean, regardless of what happens tonight on the lounges, dispensaries are on the table. Product manufacturing, retail, you can be a delivery operator or a distributor of marijuana. I mean, not a courier yet, because I don't know if that's in the cannabis rules and regulations, but you know, if that were to happen, you could still go to a dispensary, have a courier job. You can be a cultivator, you can be you can do indoor cultivating. If you got a farm, you can do outdoor cultivating, and you can also be an independent test company that you're going to verify what the marijuana. So there's a lot of jobs that are on the table already that you know that are should and could move forward. And just say your name.
My name is Adam Brown. I live in the village of Castle. I just came here tonight to try and educate myself a little bit. And, I hear certain things being repeated. And I'm just curious about things like significant revenue. Like, what does that mean? What does a marijuana lounge generate in income over a year's time? Are we talking millions of dollars? And how many of these places is the village of Catskill or the town of Catskill going to support?
It's good question. I mean, I did just, but again, I have no idea what they're going to generate, but for the town of Catskill.
Well, we're saying, I hear people saying significant revenue. What is significant revenue?
Over. That's a great question.
Great Barrington, town of Great Barrington, one dispensary generated over $6 million in taxes.
$6 million in taxes or $6 million in income?
$6 million in taxes on the product, which is
over 10 million.
And how many years? I don't want to debate that.
That's a dispensary, not allowed.
We don't have income on that.
That came totally.
Okay, so why are we saying no? Significant. We don't know what it is.
We don't. I can tell you this briefly. To get $90,000 of tax revenue at the 3%, that dispensary or dispensaries in Catskill would have to do $3 million a year, or ring the register, as I call it, to the tune of $8,219 a day to get $90,000. I mean, let's not talk about Great Barrington. They got a 20% tax on their product, and they also have another 3% on top of it. Well, 17.3% is what they have, like an impact fee, on top of that for Great Barrington. That 3% impact, that's all we're going to get in the town of Catskill on the sales tax. So, again, you can't really compare their tax structure and what they're doing compared to Catskill. I would go back to Sarah, but I don't think I got the other guy.
My name's Michael, I live on the street. I'll just read just specifically about a dispensary. It's actually in Massachusetts. They're called the Summit Lounge, and they opened in 2017. And they did $3 million in income in 2019. I actually have this information instead of asking questions to Mark here about crime and what it does to the area, because that was a concern of mine, because if I had a bunch of bars of stuff, new. But in fact, since that lounge, like I'm specifically talking about the lounge where they go and they have, the experience inside an establishment, there was a 13.31 decrease in crime in Worcester, in total crime in that town. And since it opened, crime decreased an additional 5% through 2020, which crime was usually increasing when we were going through this heinous pandemic. So I found some shocking to me, actually. But then I thought about it, and I was like, 5 years from now, if we pass by a, cannabis place where people are smoking cannabis, I'm not envisioning fires and trash cans being thrown in fights. When I think about going out when I was younger, when I go out to parties and bars and stuff, it was never the pot smokers that were acting a fool. You know what I mean? Like, there was no, those are the people that made everyone calm the heck down. It was me, the drunk dude, causing a bunch of drama. So, as a business person, I'm an entrepreneur. I want to see the money come in. It's just give us the money. Even if it's not $6 million, if it's $1 million, don't not get $1 million. Give me $1 million. I want it. But also, as a person, it's learning, decreasing my drinking. And I have to tell you, I went to Denver recently, and I finally got an experience where I got to go and talk to educated people about buying marijuana, because I don't know what I'm doing. And I don't want to talk to a stranger. So I went, and I figured some stuff out, and I found a good type for myself, but then I had to go do it by myself. I want to do it by myself. I still don't know what the hell I'm doing. I would prefer to be around people that are doing it together, just like drinking, and I can, figure it out. And that would make me use it more responsibly. I would use it more. I would purchase more. You know what I mean? It's just, as an entrepreneur, it just kind of like all comes around full circle. And I'm trying to think of what happens 5 years from now. We're like, the hot place, cool, whatever, you're just going to drive right by it,
So. Question, you said that you were concerned about regulations, and that they didn't give us any guidance.
Correct.
That's your main objection. Are they very, very clear on the regulations for all the other things that you are opting in for, or are they still writing those out still? Like for dispensaries?
Dispensaries, I would say, again, that's something that's not finalized either. But
why is it especially egregious not to have them already written for lounges?
Well, my take is on dispensaries, because I think that's where the lion's share of the money's going to come from. So, it allows people to buy product here. It takes the tourists. So I think that's our biggest chance for revenue. And through the emails that I receive, and a large portion of the concerns or the sell, so to speak, is don't let the revenue go. Don't let the revenue go. So I figured we captured 80% to 90% of the revenue by allowing the dispensaries. So that's why the dispensaries became an easier buy-in for me at the moment as far as the regulations. And I view them as being more of a beverage center and a large thing. And you're not going to have an abundance of those. And I think it's going to be competitive as well to site one of those in Catskill. And now that we approved it as a board and as a town and as a county or whoever, we have to do a good amount of work to help even secure and make sure somebody comes. I mean, now that we made that decision, I'm going to work as hard as I can to have a dispensary and somebody interested in coming to Catskill. We got the Exit 21 area. That's a great site, in my estimation, in these highway commercial zones. We have the Rip Van Winkle Bridge. It seems that has a large amount of traffic coming over there, too. So for me, that's the reason why that decision was made first. And I also like to do my due diligence, and we can roll that out. And again, in Massachusetts, they're going to try to do some pilot programs, I understand. So, I just want to do the right thing for the town of Catskill. It's not like anybody here doesn't want marijuana or is against it, but I want to do it right, and I want to, 5 years from now, I can say, this rolled out in a nice fashion, and it complements our community.
Well, I just heard someone talk about show me the money. Show me the money is like the furthest thing down on my list. What about our kids? Have we thought about our children, about our school kids? I mean, what kind of impact is this going to have on them? What kind of a message are we sending to them? Has anyone taken a look at that? Has anyone studied the impact of that in communities where this has already started?
Yes. But we've had community input on that as well from other people. It's like, should we be growing our youth? Looking at it, you got to strike the balance out here is really where we're at with it. I mean, Catskill's not, we used to have more families. I think our school enrollment's down, which it is in probably most places in New York State. So, it's just we're a changing community. So there's, there's more Airbnb homes out there, which, that's a totally different subject. But again, everyone that's rented out as a, they purchase as a business, that's one less family that's going to be living in that house. So, the dynamics of many communities, especially in the Hudson Valley, has changed drastically. And let's go to the back.
I'm Carol Sale. I live in Vailville. My concern is driving. Just because bars are legal doesn't mean they're good. I don't really want any more bars because there's no way you can get to any kind of lounge of any sort in this county without driving. And from what I understand, there really isn't a good way yet to test and make sure that people aren't driving under the influence. So I think that's really a concern.
Thank you. Now, it was a good point, and we're taking that under consideration as well. This lady here, I don't think he's...
My name is Winnie. I was just going to answer to that.
You could address the board if you want to address how, the driving or the THC levels and testing. But again, just Greg, you can address that concern to us.
I've worked with high school students in Woodstock for many, many years, for some 8 years. And my experience with the kids is that they're delighted to have an option, to not have to feel that they have to be out prom night getting drunk. And I used to talk to them. I said, listen, if you've got an option, choose the illegal option.
Right.
Because you're going to be driving illegally if you've had a drink.
I mean, the social issues, if they're out there with marijuana or cannabis products, we have them at any rate, the gentleman that left. And that was another reason dispensaries... Anybody in Catskill or everybody in Catskill that would like to have marijuana products, they're going to be available to them. So again, another reason why the dispensary kind of made sense, regardless of the revenue thing. I mean, because I wouldn't make my decision strictly based on revenue at all. It's really about common sense and what works for your community. Get a minute right there. Go ahead.
So you mentioned that if you opt out, you're looking at the two-year timeline and build this out back in. I have a question. So if you choose to opt out and then you're thinking maybe we can opt back in, you know, 6 months to a year down the line, could you work on zoning and planning and all that stuff sort of behind the scenes while the opt-out is in effect? And if not, like, I want to make sure that if we get this done within years, I believe you said, that if we want to opt back in, we can hit the ground running and, you know, the zoning and planning and all the other stuff, check that away.
Just to answer that, too, one of the reasons why I'm for opting in is because, like I said, you're 2 years before a brick-and-mortar building is built. We all know how long the permitting process takes for just about anything in the state of New York. We can work on planning and zoning and opt in at the same time.
Exactly.
Everyone's talking about the sales tax revenue generator.
Thank you.